forget a couple of announcements. Tonight service, it is second Sunday night. This will be singing practice and singing. So come back and be a part of that regular time. And also, on the front altar over here in front of Ms. Free by the plant, there's some little strips of paper. Wednesday night, we voted in conference to do a survey on changing the Sunday night service times to 6 o'clock instead of 7. So there's a little survey over there. When we complete the survey next month, we will tally that up and make a decision at the next conference. So just wanted to make mention that survey is over there that was requested. So nothing else, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, again, we thank you for your blessing. Lord, we thank you for this offering that's about to be received. God, I pray that you'll bless the gift as well as the giver. May it be given with a cheerful heart, not begrudgingly. And Father, I pray that we as the church, dear Father, would use it for thy glory. In whatever direction you'd have us to go, I pray that you would bless it and use it for your glory. We do pray for Brother Stacy, Lord, asking you to anoint him this morning. Father, give him the words that we stand in need of. God, may you get glory here this day. And God, if there be anyone that's lost, Father, that needs a touch from you this morning, God, I pray that you would speak to that heart in a new and a fresh way this morning. And we ask it all in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. And the musicians. I mentioned last Sunday, I believe it was, Brother Stacy would be preaching here this morning. I got to know Brother Stacy just a little bit through a round table that we've been having, and just sort of felt like I needed to ask him. I think it's fair to say he's just a good old country boy, from what I understand. He likes to and gets invited to a lot of the, what would you call that? The
outdoor.
Type meetings and gets to preach, and he's a member of Mount Yona, but they would say he's missing because he's only been there once this year, because the Lord's opened up doors for him to preach and to speak in other locations. But Brother Stacy, you just come on and preach and speak like the Lord's laid on your heart.
Well, good morning, everybody. Yeah, Mount Yona, they don't see us at Mount Yona Baptist Church a whole lot, but as long as we send our tithe, they're fine with that. They like for us to be there. But yesterday my family served there. I was the interim pastor there last year, and we started a food ministry to the community. In the last 12 months, we've given away 60 tons of food in the community. There's been over 50 people accept the Lord Jesus Christ at that one ministry that was started in that small church there in Cleveland. But I'm delighted to be with you guys. I am Stacy Dyer. I'm one of your state missionaries at the Georgia Baptist Convention. And today I'm thrilled because I'm 13 minutes from my house this morning, and I don't get to do that very often. I don't get to preach a lot of times where I can pull up in your parking lot and see the beautiful mountains in the background. I'm usually somewhere where there's not any mountains in the background all over the state. Next Sunday, I'll be down in Brunswick, Georgia. You can't see the mountains from Brunswick, Georgia, so I like to see the mountains. But take your copy of God's Word, if you wouldn't. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. We'll be in verse 16 through the rest of the chapter. Matthew 28, 16. And your pastor told you I serve as a state missionary for church revitalization. And I get the joy of encouraging pastors all over the state. We do, one of the things that we do is predominantly what I do is it's called Pastor Roundtable, and we pastors come in of all different size churches. We just talk about issues, things that are going on in the church, talk about things that are working in the church and things that are not working. And so those are just some of the things I do. We'll talk a little more about that in a minute. Let's stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. The Bible says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's pray together. Father, this morning, it's our desire to glorify you with our words, with our worship, with our service to you today. Lord, I desire to speak your truth. Lord, if there be one here or more that does not know you today, I pray you would deliver them from death to life. Father, if there's some here that are slid away from you, God, I pray you'd draw them close to you. God, I pray today to be an encouragement to this church, to this pastor, and this people. Lord, I pray you use your Holy Spirit to speak to us now, and I ask it in Jesus' mighty, matchless name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to talk to you this morning about what I call the Great Commission Adventure. And I'll just be honest with you, I'm on that adventure as a missionary. I pastored in my hometown in Blairsville, Georgia, at the Harmony Grove Baptist Church for almost 16 years. That's our home. That's our lives. That's what we know. Your pastor lives 7 miles from here. This is your home. That's what you know. And one day God said, "I want you to leave." I didn't know where I was going. And we left. We saw God do some phenomenal things there. And I'm not here to brag on me this morning. I'm here to brag on Jesus. But in those 15 and a half, nearly 16 years, we baptized an average 23 people for almost 16 years. 23 baptisms a year. And we had to really go after people because there was people in our community. Now, we don't have the population numbers that Hall and White County had. We're out in the country, 4 or 5 miles out of town. We just had a determination to reach people for the gospel. Let me just tell you, the gospel still works, church. Okay? The power of the gospel will save sinners and change lives, redeem individuals, and change everything. So we uprooted our family, began what we're called to serve at your convention, and here we are. Somebody asked me, your pastor said, "I'm a country boy," and I am. And I'm glad of it. Amen. Aren't y'all glad we're country folks? Predominantly, everywhere you go, folks are just ordinary folks, okay? But I'm unusual at the convention. I don't have a seminary degree. I attended college a little bit at Truett McConnell. I will work professionally for Georgia DNR for 15 years. I served a little over 15 years as a pastor. My daughter, a little smarter than a 20-year-old back here, said, "You can't keep a job at 15 years, Daddy." Yeah, she's funny, isn't she? A comedian. But God changed everything. And that's how it is on the Great Commission Adventure. You see, if you put check marks in your life and say, "I'm not going to do this," or "I'm not going to do that," then God's going to have a hard time using you. Now, yesterday I spoke at a men's conference down at Mountain View Baptist Church in Gainesville. If you know Pastor Bobby Brown, some of you may know Brother Bobby. Bobby was preaching the revival meeting in 1996 when I surrendered the call to ministry. I wasn't there because of that. I wasn't there because of friendship or favoritism. Our paths have reconnected lately. I hadn't seen him since he left that revival service in 1996 till about a year ago. But I remember surrendering that service. And I told the Lord that night, I'd ran from the call to preach the gospel for over 6 years, and I told God that night, in total surrender, "Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it." I believe that's the place we have to get, is total surrender. I believe if we look here in our text, we'll find people, these 11 disciples, in a mountain, in a place, that Jesus had told them to go to get in total surrender. Now, let me just say to you as a state missionary, you may not even know what's going on in your Georgia Baptist Convention, and I bring greetings from the executive director, J. Robert White. I want you to understand some things. When you give through the cooperative program, and I'm thankful, let me say thank you for giving, because when you give, you allow people like me. Listen, we got missionaries in 137 countries. But you've got a missionary that lives just up the street from you that's going all over the state of Georgia trying to help churches. So let me personally say thank you. You know when you give the Lottie Moon offering at Christmas time, you realize that you're supporting over 2,100 missionaries in those 137 countries. Last year, listen to this, the International Mission Board missionaries that you support and help support baptized 114,571 people. The International Missionaries planted over 6,000 churches. North American missionaries, which are in the United States and the continent of North America, South America, NAM we call it, North American Mission Board, there's 1,388 of those missionaries. They baptized almost 3,400 individuals, and you're a part of that. They planted 936 churches last year. But listen to this. In America, in the Southern Baptist Convention, in your convention, 900 churches last year padlocked the door. Closed the church. And some churches don't feel like they need revitalization. Let me tell you, every church needs to be continually looking at things that we can do differently and at things that we can do better to reach people for the sake of the gospel. If we're not revitalized, listen, everything changes, okay? So we have to keep an eye on that. You have over 165 of us as Georgia Baptist missionaries here in the state of Georgia. In Georgia, in our churches, there was almost 30,000 baptisms in 2014. If you ever see our Ministry of Disaster Relief on TV, you see ladies and guys with the yellow hats. Maybe some of y'all are part of Disaster Relief. I don't know if you are or not, but the Red Cross provides all the meals for when there's a disaster. But guess who cooks them? Guess who hands them out, who provides them? Southern Baptist. Every meal is provided. When you see, watch sometime when there's a hurricane or a tornado or some kind of disaster, and you'll see, I guarantee you'll see people with yellow baseball caps on that say Disaster Relief. That is a Southern Baptist, member of a Southern Baptist church who's serving voluntarily to help people in that area. Last year, there were, out of those 400,000 meals that were served, 140 people accepted Christ during a time of disaster. You know, people listen to the gospel when everything's upside down in their world, won't they? It's just interesting how that happens. Here's something neat. I'm a firm believer in Vacation Bible School. I think it's one of our greatest events in the church. I'm a big old kid at heart, okay? My wife will tell you when it was Vacation Bible School time, I just went nuts over it because I love being with those kids. I'm a great big overgrown kid. Somebody said amen to the great big part. But last year, because you give, we were able to train almost 1,200 Vacation Bible School workers and teachers. Listen to this. In Georgia, 267,896 children came to Vacation Bible School in the churches, and out of the 3,600 churches in the Georgia Baptist Convention. Listen to this. 8,794 young people asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior because a church did Vacation Bible School. Isn't that amazing that nearly 9,000 people came into the kingdom? We've got boys camps and girls camps, Camp Kaleo down in Forsyth, Camp Pinnacle up here in Rayburn County. Out of those, there was almost 100 salvations at those two camps. In our youth ministry, they do big events down on the coast in the summertime. They did it at Athens this winter. And there was 1,053 young people prayed to receive Christ. And it's all because you guys give. Now, when we look at our text this morning, I want you to see here, there's four things that I believe that are going to make us effective on this journey that I call the Great Commission Adventure. I hope to inspire as many churches as I can to consider every move you make a part of the Great Commission Adventure. First of all, we must be where the Master has appointed us to be. We must be where the Master has appointed us to be. See, these men were appointed to be at a place where Jesus was going to interact and instruct them and teach them. Now listen, he's been, at this point, he's in a resurrected body. He's done something that nobody before him or nobody since or nobody ever will do. He has defeated death, hell, and the grave, okay? He has come back, the living Lord. Now remember, he's taking on a different role right here. I want you to understand something Christ did for you. It's very important. His body, we're going to see him one of these days, right? We're going to see him one of these days, those of us that know him. And I believe when we get there, we're going to have different bodies than we have now. Y'all won't know me. I'll be skinny then, amen? You won't even recognize me. I won't have this old gray hair. I'm going to have some of that blackish brown hair I had when I was young. And I can't wait for that glorified body, but Jesus is not going to have that kind of body. He's going to, for all of eternity, we'll be able to see the wounds. He's going to bear them. Can you imagine that? The holes that were pierced in his hands and his feet, his side, you believe the Bible, right? And his side was pierced. We're going to see that. Now, it's marks of glory. It's a badge of honor. But I want you to understand, Jesus is going to bear those marks for all eternity so that everyone will know the only way that you got there, the only way I got there, is by the blood he shed at Calvary. What a victory he paid for us. So it's worth it to try to be where he's appointed us to be. It's a non-negotiable that we, as members of the body of Christ, born-again family of God, we get ourselves exactly where he wants us to be. Let me tell you, that's not an easy task, okay? Because we have to continually work on it. And we're going to stand before him one of these days. And you don't forget what I'm about to say here. One of these days we're going to stand before him. We're going to give account of every deed done in this body. And if we don't get done what he expects and demands of us, we're going to answer for that. So if God is calling you to do something, let me encourage you. Get busy. Amen? Get busy doing it. When these disciples found themselves where they were supposed to be, the Bible shows us here that something happened. That they fell down and worshiped him. Now, it saddens me that this had to be added there in verse 17. After that colon, there's a little statement here that finishes up the sentence. It says, but's always an interesting word, isn't it? Some doubted. Can you imagine? I mean, it's the talk of the town. They put him in a tomb and he's buried and dead. And, you know, when you bury folks, you bury them. It's done. I told them yesterday, when I pastored, I don't really enjoy doing weddings. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I never did enjoy pastor doing weddings. I'd rather do a funeral 10-to-1's wedding. I never had a funeral come undone, okay? But I had some weddings that come undone, okay? But listen, can you imagine being the undertaker in the city and you put Jesus in the tomb and it won't hold him and he's come out of that grave alive and victorious and they see him? They're in the very presence of the Lord, and the Bible says, but some doubted. Now, if they doubted, can you imagine the doubts people are having today? Maybe in this very room, somebody doubts. They doubt our lives. They doubt our testimony. A lot of times we give them ground for that. because we've failed and fallen, and a lot of times lost people don't understand that. It, just because I'm saved doesn't mean I'm perfect. My wife say amen to that, and y'all will too if you knew me a little bit. And y'all aren't perfect either, amen? We're not perfect vessels, you see. But you know, sometimes folks give room for the devil, and our lives don't add up to what our testimony says. And we, and you know, I've said this a lot of times, the Lord would have done me and you a favor if the day he saved me, if he just killed me and took me right on out to heaven, okay? Because I give me more trouble than anybody else. How about y'all? I give myself a lot of trouble. But through the years, I've seen people that wanted to act the part, but they couldn't do that on a continual basis because their old self just kept popping out. You know, that kind of thing gets a pastor down. But it helps when a life is changed and you see a family that truly got it, got saved, begin to be discipled, and all of a sudden they get on this journey I call the Great Commission Adventure, and they begin to just walk with God. And then sometimes you'll have ups and downs as you pastor. The pastors say amen to this. You have ups and downs, and you have people that love you, and you have old grouchy people in your ministry, and they want to counteract your joy. And I think the devil sends somebody to discourage God's men and God's people. I believe the devil's greatest tool is discouragement. So let me ask you, you always, let me bind you here today. You be an encourager to your pastor. He needs it. Him and his family. He needs it. You know, what'll overdo the discouragement is when the pastor sees a family begin to walk with God. When he sees people that love the Lord and go after the lost. And it was neat as a pastor to watch people grow. Let me tell you what else happened through those years. I thought about it last night. I thought about close to 400 people in those nearly 16 years that I pastored. And I watched some of those people really grow as disciples and serve in the church and take on leadership roles. And there's still some of them there today serving mightily in the church. But I watched some of those people too that came that didn't walk the walk. That just walked away. And I'll say to you, be careful what you walk away from. You might be walking away from God's best. Some folks walked away never to walk back towards the church. And it breaks your heart. People are watching. They're watching you. And they're watching me. And they know if we truly have joy in this Christian walk. Secondly, we got to operate in his power, not ours. In this text, Jesus unpacked a principle on us that it's his power and not ours. You see, he's got exclusive possession of his power. Listen to what he says. I love what he says here. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Both places exclusively. Heaven-sent power belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ, with earthly and heavenly dimensions. Now, and God left us, and I was glad to see your gospel tracts. I see a tract right hanging on the wall over here. And I'm a firm believer in using the gospel tract. It's a simple way. Some of you might say, well, I'm not comfortable sharing the gospel. Okay, but you know what? There's not a one of us that can't take a gospel tract and hand that to somebody and say, this is real hard. Just walk up to somebody and say, hey, would you read that, please, sometime when you get a chance? My name's so-and-so. I go to Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. I'd like to give you this. I'm concerned about you, about your soul. Just read it. That's not hard. Anybody can do that. And you can do that. Everybody can do that. God wants us to share the gospel. He's given us his power, and he's left us here with a responsibility to share the gospel. And it falls directly on, they don't listen, it don't just fall on the pastor, it does fall on him, but it falls on every one of us. Every single one of us, and we ought to be at it sharing the gospel. If there's ever a day when we need to be sharing, it is this day. Listen to this, God doesn't have a plan B. He don't need one. He's left the best plan, the best strategy that the world has ever known to share the gospel. You say, well, there's just a few of us here. There was only 11 in this meeting that I read about. And you know what these boys did? You know what was said of them a little later in the book of Acts? It said, these that have turned the world upside down, 11 of them turned the world upside down for the power and the sake of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They made him known. You know, we encounter folks every minute. This afternoon you leave here, maybe you go somewhere to eat lunch, or maybe you talk to somebody on the phone. You're going to encounter folks that are having problems. I dare say there's not a person in the pew this morning here that don't have some kind of problem. And we got the answer. We got the remedy. His name is Jesus. And sometimes we act like we don't have the remedy. But lost people don't realize, they think because you're a Christian, a lot of them think, well, they got to live a perfect life and they don't have any problems. Well, that's the farthest from the truth, right? I mean, listen, if you really get sold out to God and start serving Him and going in His direction, you're going against the stream, you're going against Satan. The devil won't bother you much if you're not doing him any harm. But when you start to go against Him, all hell breaks loose in your life. And I'm right here. I'm just telling you, I've seen it happen. And so, but I like to be a threat to Him, don't you? I like to challenge Him. What they don't understand is, I've stood it. No telling, because I was from Blairsville, my hometown. There's no telling. I'm not kept up with how many caskets I've stood and officiated the funeral. It's amazing the difference that a family that knows God and loves Him and sold out their life to Christ versus, hey, I've seen families that didn't know the Lord. I don't know how in the world they deal with a thing like death when they don't know Jesus. I'm thankful my family knows the Lord. All power belongs to Jesus. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Here's the bottom line. Jesus is our source, our force, and our course. Third, we got to reach people everywhere. The task of being the church is a huge responsibility. Well, let me just tell you, I go to churches all over this state. I see all kind of different things, and it disturbs me at a lot of times what I find. And I want to make this real clear. We are to serve one another. We're to help each other. Church is one of the best community that's ever created on the planet. And I'm going to tell you, I believe with all my heart that we are built, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, we're built for community. We're built for fellowship, for one another. The Bible tells us to edify one another, to build up in the body of Christ. But I'm telling you, sometimes we lose our focus. And we become internally focused and we forget that right outside the walls of the church, in the community, that people are lost. They're dying. They're going to go to hell if we don't intervene. We don't have the right list, and you got the gospel. Somewhere along the journey, somebody shared with you, and if you're born again, you got saved. And listen, we all, everyone, know multiples of individuals who don't know Him. Listen, what happens in community? You're blessed with a community if you have this church. But think about the thousands of people. You could just go probably within 5 miles here and find 10, 15,000 people. You know how many of them are not going to church this morning? Most of them. Probably about 70 or 80% or higher of them are not in church this morning. They don't know Him. They've never been introduced to the lovely Lord Jesus. And we don't have a right not to introduce them to Him. We ought to have a burden as the children of God, the family of God, to tell them. You see, your church is the Great Commission Resource Center. You're the tooling for the Great Commission right here at Pleasant Hill in Cornelia, in Hall County, right here, this little section where you're at. I'm right, aren't y'all in Hall County, right on the edge here? You are that center. It's right here that you must reach them. Listen, I'm grateful that you help share the gospel in Africa, in South America, in South Dakota. I'm going to tell you something. If we're no good right here, we won't be no good on another part of the planet. God expects us to be here. We're such a minority. Listen to this. Diane puts it on my nightstand. And I believe it was September 2013, Gerald Harris, editor of the Christian Index, wrote an article about there's 7.1 million lost people in Georgia. I look at that thing every day that I'm home. And lay it on my nightstand, and it reminds me that sometime during the day, I'm to share the gospel. You know, we got a lot of advances in technology. Last week, I was down in Dublin, Georgia, Pastor Roundtable. One of the churches in Dublin is ministering to a tribe of Mayan Indians in Mexico. They don't have electricity. They don't have running water. They have running water if somebody runs and gets it, okay? But the pastor has found a little device that speaks the gospel in their language. It's the New Testament. And then at the end, it shares the gospel. It's solar powered. They laid out in the sun in the daytime. They took 400 of them. They're taking 400 more back. They're $22 a piece. It's a little device. You just turn it on to power on and push play. He said they handed those 400 out at night. Now listen, there's no electricity there, no radios, no nothing. He said that night he just got out and started a prayer walk in the village, and he heard that voice of those recorders in the huts. The Bible was playing. The gospel was being shared. Listen to this. The chief of the village accepted Christ. Okay? It can happen. You know, the gospel will save sinners. I want to tell you, you may be here this morning, maybe everybody here is saved. I hope you are, but if you're not, listen. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This afternoon when we get in our cars and head back home, wherever we go, every house we go by, that hits everybody. Tomorrow when you go to work, all those people you work with, when you go to school, all those people are sinners, including us. And God has left you and me here to intervene on their behalf for the sake of the gospel. Fourth and finally, we must live as indwelled examples for Christ. Jesus delves into the arena of baptism. He tells us to teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. The first century believers were baptized. Jesus was baptized. The Apostle Paul was baptized in the family of God. John, the forerunner of Jesus, was known as the baptizer. Baptism's a big deal, guys. So many I see in today's church. You can read about baptism in Romans 6:1-5. A very important passage where we come up out of that water, arise and walk in the newness of life. That water don't save us, but the blood of Jesus does. And we need to be seeing as many folks as we can to come to faith in Christ, baptizing them and setting them to be discipled and to serve in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our life is the benchmark. I want you to hear me. Our lives are the benchmark at times to an observing world. You may be the only Bible that some people ever read, your life. You know, nobody can please everybody. We're under a microscope, but I'm telling you to watch your walk. Watch your language. I'm not talking about using church language, but I want you to be careful how you speak, because ugly, foul, coarse talk will hinder your testimony. I remember, you know, how your actions may harm the whole church. It's a big deal. We got to live as indwelled examples for Christ. I remember we had a family. Diane will tell you this is a true story. This isn't a preacher story. It's a true story, okay? I'm kidding. Had a family started attending our church, and they had three little boys, and they came. They liked our young adult Sunday school class. They liked our children's classes. We had And when I got there, there's 25 people. We didn't hardly have anything going on when I left. There's about 300 coming to church every Sunday, 550 members. We had all kind of things going on. It nearly wear you out just to read everything we had going on. But this family came to the church and they said, "Pastor, we're thinking about joining the church. We've been coming for a while. We liked your preaching. We love your teaching. We love our Sunday school class. We love our kids' Sunday school ministry and all the ministries for our children. But we've got a problem." Really? They made an appointment to see me. I said, "What's the problem?" I said, "Well, in that time we didn't sell alcohol in our county." I said, "But we went down to Blue Ridge at the grocery store. And the lady that's teaching our youngest son was at Ingles in Blue Ridge. And the man said, I'm just going to be honest with you. He said, she had a buggy so full of beer that she couldn't put another drop of beer in that buggy. She's teaching Sunday school in my church." And I just said, "I'm sorry, I'll deal with you." And I did. It's hard when you have to fire volunteers. This is a family I love. We had that same church covenant hanging on the wall. Our folks agreed to it when they joined the church. What does it say? You read it sometime. And that family got mad at me and left the church. The other family stayed. Leadership's hard. But that sweet lady was hindering her testimony. Later, we're friends now. Later, they agreed it was wrong. But, you know, the action of one family could have devastated our church. We got to think about every move we make. It's bigger than us, guys. We serve Him. We represent Him. People make mistakes. I'm so glad pastors make mistakes. This one made a lot of mistakes, okay? I still do. I'm going to make a bunch more. I need y'all to pray for me. But Jesus said something at the end of this scripture, and I'm about done. He said in verse 20, "I am with you always, even at the end of the world." When I let Him down, I never forget. He says, "I am with you." Your pastor won't always be perfect. His wife said, "Amen." No, I'm kidding. Your leaders in the church won't always be perfect. Y'all hear me right here. You won't always be perfect. But Jesus said, "I am always with you." You know, when you let somebody down, you ever had somebody that was your friend and you did something disappointing and they're not your friend anymore? Y'all been through that, haven't you? I have. Jesus don't operate like that. He said, "I'm with you." He's with us when we're at our best. Oh, by the way, you know what He says about our best? Filthy rags. Okay? But when we're at our best, He's with us. But when I'm at my worst, don't forget this. When I'm about to do something to disappoint Him, He's with me. When I have disappointed Him and I go to Him broken and repentant, He don't turn His back on us because He loves us. I want to give an invitation this morning. If y'all would come, Pastor, if you'd just come stand in front of the altar, please. I want to invite you. If you've never been saved, would you just stand with me this morning, this time of invitation? If you've never been saved, I want to invite you this morning. My life verse is Romans 10:13. It's my favorite verse in all the Bible because I do believe that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, because of what Jesus did on that cruel cross at Calvary, you can become a Christian. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to get to where you're supposed to be. God's calling you to do something for Him. He's told you to get to that location just like these boys in the text. And you need to get there. this morning he'll let you make that journey. Maybe you've been trying for a long time to operate in your power. Why don't you turn over the reins this morning and let him operate through you in his power? I've tried it both ways. I sure don't like it in my power. I want to operate in his. Let me challenge you. If I do anything today, I want to inspire you to take this week. Don't wait. If you do it today, that's great. Sometime this week, though, share the gospel with somebody. I've got to share this quick story, and I'm done. I'm going to turn it over to you, Pastor. I hope you're inspired to live as an indwelling example for Christ. But right back out shore, storm back left down to the red light at Chattahoochee Baptist Church Wednesday. I'm going to a conference in Greensboro, Georgia. The light's green. My fault, I didn't look good. The light's green. And somebody, they give driver's license to morons. Did y'all know that? This guy ran the red light running about 60 miles an hour. God just moved. I'm just telling you, y'all think I'm nuts, you want to. God just moved my truck over. It hit me right in the door. I could have been killed Wednesday. It's really rattled me. God don't put circumstances like this in your life without making them useful for his glory. So I've been sharing the gospel with folks that waited on in the restaurants and people I've encountered. Because you know, if I'd have died right there at the red light at 115 in Duncan Bridge, I know where I'm going to spend eternity. I'm settled with that. I'm telling you, people that you're going to intersect with this week, they're not. They don't know. So you go tell them, Pastor.
Green Book 275.
If you have a need, the altar's open this morning.
Yeah.